Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Friday, June the 13th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, find out why staff at a school in Deal have been striking. A TV star joins the bid to save a Kent shopping centre, and we speak to a Kent dad who will be spending Father's Day raising money for the hospital that saved his baby's life. But first, tributes are being paid today to a Kent couple who are thought to have been on board a plane that crashed in India. Fingal and Jamie Greenlaw Meek ran a wellness company in Ramsgate. They posted a video on socials shortly before getting on the flight.
We are at the airport, just boarding. Goodbye, India.
Bye, goodbye. Thank you. 10-hour flight back to England.
What's your biggest takeaway, Jamie?
I've done this already.
On a different thing.
All right. What's my biggest takeaway? I don't know.
Yeah, fascinating. Great. Thanks. Thanks for your contribution. okay. Yeah, my biggest takeaway is don't lose your patience with your partner.
Yeah. You're already starting to. You already snapped at me while we're having chai at the airport. You see, you've learned nothing.
Going back happily calm.
The aircraft was heading for Gatwick when it came down near Ahmedabad Airport. Investigations on why that happened are continuing. Avnash Shireen is president of the Hindu Cultural Society in Gravesend. He's been speaking to reporter Gabriel Morris.
It's devastating, very, very devastating for all the people who had come in this morning, just coming in praying basically for the loved ones of the victims and obviously the family and friends. So very, very difficult. I just thought it was, I was actually on TikTok, just looked on TikTok, and all of a sudden I thought it's probably just fake news, just didn't sink in. Then the BBC News headlines come up, and that's when I realised it wasn't fake, it was actually what happened, and the heart just sank. Couldn't believe it. Especially that one plane just took off and away it went. Very devastating.
We know that 241 passengers and crew were killed. One man, a 40-year-old from Leicester, survived. India's Prime Minister visited the crash site earlier and met some of the injured in hospital.
Kent Online News.
Two more people have been charged following investigations into an aggravated burglary near Maidstone. A man was left with life-changing injuries after a group of people attacked the occupants of a home in Coxheath last December. The two suspects, who are both from Medway, have been bailed and are due in court next month. Six others have previously been charged. Three fire engines have been called to tackle a blaze at a building yard near Maidstone. It broke out on Small Profits Lane in Yalding in the early hours of this morning. Crews spent more than 2 hours tackling the flames. We're told no one was hurt, but it's unclear yet how it started. Now, tributes have been paid to a teacher from Sheppey who was found dead in a creek after being reported missing by her dad. The body of mum of three, Karen Gill, was discovered on South Street in Queenborough last December. Lucy has more details for the podcast.
Karen's dad has revealed how she was struggling with anxiety and depression, eventually turning to drugs and alcohol to self-medicate. Messages were found on the 51-year-old's phone, which showed she'd been ordering a large number of opioid tablets online. An inquest found her cause of death was drowning, a painkiller overdose, and alcoholic ketoacidosis. Her family say those responsible for supplying the opioids should be liable to prosecution for manslaughter. They also think she was let down by health services because of a lack of resources in the NHS. Karen's oldest daughter, Chloe, who's 28, says her mum was warm and caring, describing her as a bright light who had so much love to give to the world. She worked as a computer science teacher on Sheppey and in Medway.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. And don't forget, if you're struggling with alcohol or drug addiction, you can call the Kenwood Trust on 01622 814 187. That's 01622 814 187.
Kent Online reports.
A group of Romani gypsy families have won an appeal to turn a former park and ride site off the M2 into an official traveller site. They've been living at the former Wigmore Coach Park for nearly 2 years after being temporarily moved there by Medway Council. An application to convert the land has been approved, meaning they'll be able to stay. A shop in Dover that sold a litre of of vodka to a 16-year-old has been given a new alcohol licence despite opposition from police. The teenager needed hospital treatment after buying drink from Dylan's Superstore on the High Street last August. The shop temporarily lost its licence but has now been given a second chance for what's been described as a probation period. The RSPCA have rescued dogs, rabbits, guinea pigs and 20 cats from a home in Ramsgate. Officers were called to the property on Monday following concerns for the welfare of the animals. The animals are all being given medical treatment. Now, staff at a secondary school in Deal have started strike action over proposed job cuts. Five members of support staff at Goodwin Academy are set to go as their trusts say they're facing challenging financial conditions. Well, Millie Bowles has been along to the protest. She's been speaking to Lauren, who's head of history and RE.
Unfortunately, the school is making numerous members of staff redundant, and the threat of this has also pushed out nearly 15 members of staff, which won't be replaced next year. There's also people who won't have their jobs next year. So we're striking to save some of those jobs, but also to let the trust know that the children are going to suffer unless they replace those staff members, and that we need to protect the children and support our staff, and they need to stop taking all of the money and put it where it actually needs to go.
Jay Cleary is head of English and is also the NEU rep.
We're trying to protect jobs. We have people who have been, you know, forced to be made redundant. We have teachers who have been forced to leave, and we're worried about the level of support and the level of education that the school is able to provide. It's a real worry that this is only the start of it. We're just very keen that the trust enters into some kind of talks. As part of the NEU, we're willing to talk at any time, but so far they've refused to budge and just won't talk to us. We just want to sit down around a table and talk about the issues, and at the moment the trust is completely refusing.
Millie also caught up with Jamie Pout, who's the NEU South East Kent secretary.
They're very concerned about the finances at the school. They're very concerned about the fact that the CEO at this school earns over £200,000, whilst some of the lowest paid members of staff, the LSAs, the cover supervisors, the midday supervisors, are going to be made redundant as of September. There's a large number of teachers, history teachers, science teachers, English teachers, who are not going to be replaced as of September. So there are huge numbers of staff who won't be returning to the school in September. And we know that that will have a detrimental effect on students. That will have a massive impact on the quality of education these students here will receive. And the Trust, the Thinking School Academy of Trust, are not willing to budge on those redundancies. So these members here, these teachers, these TAs, have been forced out on strike. The trust offered to speak to us if we paused this action, and then we would meet with them sometime next week. Members didn't feel that was appropriate to pause action with the offer of maybe discussing with the trust. And so we've been forced out for a second day of action. This is day two of 7 days of planned action.
Now, as you heard, the union are urging the trust to come to the negotiating table. Well, we've had a statement through from the Thinking Schools Academy Trust. They've said that they're committed to continuing to provide the highest quality education for the students and the best working environment for staff. Now, they've said these are very difficult decisions and they value the whole team, but are taking proactive action now to remain financially sound while not compromising on the excellent education and care of the students. It goes on to say that they've been working closely with the unions to try and resolve the situation. They're disappointed to see the strike action continuing, but they do respect the staff's individual decision to do so. It adds that they're doing all they can to minimise disruption to students' learning and remain open to working with the unions to reach a resolution. It concludes that they will continue supporting the small number of support staff affected during this time.
Kent Online reports.
A dad of four from Thanet has been diagnosed with bowel cancer after going to the doctors with a stomachache. Kyle Ingram-Baldwin says he had no other symptoms. A scan showed the disease has also spread to his liver. The 40-year-old from Minster has had 6 rounds of chemo and is raising money to find alternative treatments. A care home in Gravesend has been rated inadequate by inspectors for a second time. Hever Court provides care for adults of all ages. Some residents are living with dementia. dementia. Well, following a visit in February, the Care Quality Commission found breaches with safeguarding, safe care and treatment and staffing. The home remains in special measures. It's been closely monitored to ensure people are kept safe while improvements are made. Next today, and a TV star is back in calls to save Ashford's Park Mall's shopping centre from being demolished. Council bosses want to create a car park on the site instead before eventually turning it into flats. More than 3,000 people have signed a petition to try and reverse their decision. Tom Burke, who stars in crime drama Strike, has joined the campaign and he's been speaking to our reporter Jo Harbert.
Something doesn't seem right, and it's the sort of thing that peeves me. It's the sort of thing I feel one can have some kind of actual effect on. It's not just shouting into the void about to get involved with.
And what are your sort of, obviously this means a lot to you, what are sort of some of your biggest memories about Park Mall specifically?
It always seemed like the heart and centre of the town to me. I was six when it went up. Before that, there was the old market. And I think when that left, there was a hole, and Park Mall filled it.
And in terms of moving forward and things, initially, what was your sort of reaction to the news it was going to be demolished, first of all?
Well, I suppose I was given all the information at once, and it didn't seem to make sense to me. It seemed to be happening in a... It seemed to have been rushed through. It's an entirely honourable thing to want to build social housing. There are many other areas that could become social housing and are indeed planned to. There was a willful lack of transparency about what was going on. They were accepting new business owners into Park Mall. Only 8 weeks later, they informed them of their plans.
The council say the shopping centre is in managed decline and regeneration is needed.
Kent Online News.
A Kent dad has praised the staff at a hospital in the county for saving his baby son's life. Leo wasn't breathing when he was born at the QEQM in Margate in May last year. Well, Jack Davey has been telling me how staff rushed into action and what he's doing this weekend to pay back.
It was all a low-risk pregnancy. Everything was fine. We also didn't know what sex our baby was as well, so we kept that as a surprise. And she was pushing and he was, everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, baby's heart rate was dropping. So the quick thinking staff, our midwives, had pressed the emergency buzzer. So in the room filled with all doctors, nurses, the head of midwifery, they were all in there. We both sort of feared the worst. Leo was then pulled out. He was born, but there was no sound, no cry that you'd expect. So then he got put onto the resuscitation table for what felt like a lifetime. But he was resuscitated for 22 minutes. I just held Ella's hand tightly, looking into her eyes, telling her everything was going to be okay. But all I could hear in the background was voices, machines, numbers. I felt like I was in like a movie where they slow it down and, you know, the dramatic zoom, that's exactly how I felt. Then after the 22 minutes, we then heard a cry. And then I just felt the relief drain from me.
It's a scary time having a baby anyway, but then when something like that happens, as you say, for you, everything kind of just went into slow motion. Everything was happening around you. I mean, it must have almost felt a bit like an out-of-body experience, because you don't expect, well, you know, mum gets pregnant, baby arrives, and then it's all fine. And you don't ever really like to think of what can happen if things go a little bit wrong, do you? So to have all of that support, I mean, it just must have felt like someone had a big hug around you and was looking after you all that time.
You hear the stories, you see the news, but you never expect it to happen to you. And like I say, the pregnancy was so low risk. You know, we deliberately didn't have a baby shower. we just didn't have the pram. We had minimal clothes because, you just don't know, anything can happen. And my two sisters were also pregnant at the same time as my wife. So one of my sisters gave birth at the end of February. One gave birth 2 weeks before Leo, and both of them births were fine. And it was almost like not so much that I'd been dealt a bad hand, but what had we ever done in a previous life, or what had we ever done to deserve that? But I mean, yeah, it's what I just have no words, really. It's amazing that the hospitals do get bad press, and things do happen to people, but the staff and the treatment that we had, yeah, I will be forever in debt.
And very fittingly, of course, the run happens on Father's Day, doesn't it? So, which is lovely, and that'll be your second Father's Day then. So, how has the training gone? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's very fitting that it is on Father's Day, and I think it will be my first and only half marathon. The training's good. I've had 10 to 12 weeks of training. I had a week off a few weeks ago. I've not picked up any injuries, which has been a blessing, really. I've really pushed myself, and it's actually quite an achievement. I will be celebrating once I cross that finish line. I can assure everybody that I will be celebrating, with it being Father's Day as well. But it's amazing what you can actually do if you really put your mind to it.
Have you found that it's helped you mentally as well? Because a lot of people say how exercise, it gives you that time to go and clear your head or to think about things. Because what you went through at that time, both you and your wife, it was very traumatic, and it's perhaps not until after the event that you realise quite how much you had to deal with and take in at the time.
Yeah, so my wife actually said to me the other day, she said, "What do you think about when you run?" And it was a very good question, because I've never actually thought about, I don't think I've thought about much, but it's more of the sort of the grueling process of, my longer runs where I've been training a 12, a 16, and an 18K. And I just think to myself, when I'm going through the motions and thinking I can't do this, I then think back to Leo's birth and think that I've been in a much worse place than running along the seafront.
So, as you heard, Jack is spending Father's Day this weekend running the Saxon Shore Half Marathon to raise money for Tiny Toes, which supports the special care baby units in East Kent. Leo is now one. He's going to be cheering on his dad, and the half marathon starts and finishes at Whitstable Castle. It follows the coast to Herne Bay and back. They're going to be doing two laps of the circuit. It starts at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Jack's already raised more than £2,000, and if you search for Jack Davey on Just Giving, you can donate. Donate if you wish to. A heat health alert has come into force across Kent. Forecasters reckon temperatures could get up to 30 degrees, which might cause some problems for vulnerable people, including the elderly and young children. The yellow alert lasts until Sunday. There's also an amber weather warning for thunderstorms for most of Kent. It's in place from 8 tonight until 5 tomorrow morning. That's on top of a yellow alert for the whole county between 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. Forecasters are warning we could see some flash flooding, lightning strikes and strong winds. And finally, a reminder to drivers, the A249 Sheppey Crossing is going to be closed overnight this weekend. National Highways are carrying out some bridge repairs and the road will be closed in both directions. It'll shut at 8 p.m. tonight, tomorrow and Sunday, but should reopen at 6 a.m. each morning and stay open during the day.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket and Kent have lost to Surrey in their latest game in the T20 Blast. The result came down to the final ball of the match at the Oval last night, with the home side beating the Spitfires' score of 171. It's their second defeat in the shortest form of the game so far this season. On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu will go back to being British number one after reaching the quarterfinals at Queen's. She beat Slovakia's Rebecca Šramková in straight sets yesterday. The 22-year-old from Orpington will take on Chinese top seed Qingwen Zheng in the last eight. Boxing, and Maidstone man is set to contend defend the vacant WBO lightweight world title. 27-year-old Sam Noakes will face American Abdullah Mason for the crown. No date or venue for the clash has been set yet. Both fighters have a 100% record. And finally, in football, the new Gillingham kits are going to be available to buy from today. Their home strip features a blue design with lightning bolts, while the away shirt is black and gold. The third kit is orange and purple. I'm told some of the players will be making an appearance at the club shop a little bit later on. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. Plus, we've got plenty of detail of what's happening in the county on the What's On pages. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.